You know, one would have thought that such a monumental event in the history of humanity, I mean, the entire direction of the Old Testament lends itself to this moment. God sending his son, the King of Kings arriving, the Savior of the world. I mean, this is the biggest thing to have ever happened in the history of the planet up to that moment and since. And yet all we're given is just one or two lines. Like, you would have thought that the birth of God's son would have demanded a little more attention, a bit more fanfare by the historian Luke. And yet, instead of elaborating on the details of the manger scene, maybe he gives them a little privacy, doesn't want to rip on Joseph fainting, but Luke does something weird. He immediately and abruptly shifts the narrative in the most unexpected of directions. Look at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, meaning they were out in the fields, they didn't live there, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were greatly afraid. We would say they were wigged out. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards man." It really is astonishing to me that instead of allowing his readers just a moment to soak up the incredible significance of this scene of the incarnation, Luke quickly transitions the readers, you and I, from the stable manger with baby Jesus to the tranquil solitude of a field full of shepherds watching over their flocks by night. Sadly, because our 21st century church culture has, to a large degree, sterilized the identity of these shepherds, we have a hard time understanding how really bizarre this scene shift is. 19th century scholar Alfred Edenstein, he wrote a book titled The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. And in it, he made a claim about the shepherds that's very interesting. He wrote, "The shepherds were outcasts because of their necessary isolation from religious ordinances and manner of life." Like, what he means is that the job of a shepherd, because it included certain tasks, kind of came with the job. It was a dirty job. And because these tasks would make you ceremonially unclean, shepherds were banned from going to the temple. Shepherds couldn't go to the temple and offer a sacrifice. They had unclean hands, meaning they could never atone for their sin. But most shepherds didn't give a rip. You see, shepherds were not the upstanding model citizens we've made them out to be, or those we want our sons to play in a Christmas nativity. If you were a shepherd in the first century, your life had so spiraled out of control that you were now relegated to an occupation at the lowest rung of society. Like, the Jews saw a shepherd that not even God wanted anything to do with them. And as such, shepherds were commonly drunkards. They were addicts, vagabonds. They were known to be sexually perverse. When they came to town, people like closed the doors, shuttered the windows, brought the kids in. Populations of shepherds often came with sexually venereal diseases. They were perverse. They were known to be pickpocketers. These men, these shepherds, were dropouts, bums, deviants, outcasts. Think of the shepherds as a biker gang of outlaws, straight out the hit TV show Sons of Anarchy. No mother in her right mind would ever dream or desire her little boy to grow up to be one of those guys, a shepherd. You see, it's not only weird, Luke prematurely leaves this glorious scene of the manger. But it's with these things in mind that it's really strange Luke shifts the narrative to this group of shepherds, of all people, who, by this hour of the night, are likely sitting around a fire, half past tipsy. Once again, get yourself into the story. You've had one too many drinks. You're out with your boys around a fire. It's dark. When out of the blue, ba-boom, an angel of the Lord stands before you. And the glory of the Lord, we're told, shone around them. Two things. The angel appears, the glory surrounds them, or literally the brightness of God engulfed them. That's what it means. Not only, as you can picture, these men immediately disoriented by a bright light coming out of the sky. It's like a UFO. It's an abduction. Beam of light. I mean, you're freaking out. This angelic figure. But Luke says they're greatly afraid. These are hard guys. They'd been in their share of fights. But here, this was something crazy because of the angel's first words. Like, you can imagine the scene is hectic. They're diving behind boulders. You know, they're picking up weaponry. They're doing everything they can to get on their feet. The first words are what? Do not be afraid. Which means what? They were horrified. And the angel says, I bring you good tidings. Good news, good things, chill out. Good things, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. We often think about this story from the angle of the shepherds. But just indulge me for a minute and consider it from the angle of the angel. Like, what was the angel's reaction when he found out that he was being sent to a group of shepherds and sheep in a field of Bethlehem? Like, God has had this plan, right? Going to send a son to the world. That son's going to die to save the world of sins. You're this angel, and God has called you centuries before and say, listen, you're going to have a role in this. You're like, yes! You're going to be the announcer. The grand poop, you're like, all right. And then there's going to be like this heavenly host. You're going to be the choir director, the orchestra. Like, it's going to be awesome. You're the man. Angel's like, all right. So for centuries, you know, that angel's prepping his lines, getting everything ready. He's in heaven, waiting for the curtain to go back. That curtain pulls. He turns. And his drunk shepherds and sheep. The sheep are, and the shepherds are falling over themselves. Like, this is the audience you've been prepping for? You got to be kidding me. Like, if I were the angel, right? Like, I would have expected that curtain to be pulled back and what to be there? The temple with a bunch of priests. Like, the religious people, right? The seat of religion. I mean, I'm announcing that the Savior's arrived, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one we've all been waiting for. If not the temple, then maybe the Colosseum in Rome, right? The seat of power, the seat of prestige. If not that, maybe the Pantheon in Athens, the educated, the learned, the thinkers. The one thing I can say for sure is that I would not have expected shepherds keeping watch over their flocks. Though shifting from the glory of the manger to a dark field full of shepherds is peculiar. In an interesting twist, it really shouldn't be. Like, consider how many of the great biblical characters, men that God included in big roles in his story, were shepherds. Like, this perspective of a shepherd didn't start in the first century. There was a reason for this. Throughout history, Abel was a shepherd. Abraham, Isaac, Jake, shepherds. King David was a what? A shepherd. That list can go on and on and on. Shepherds being included God kind of had a business of including shepherds. You see, a dark field and a group of deviants presented the perfect illustration of the world and the outlook of humanity that Jesus was being sent into. The world had been darkened by sin. The world was in rebellion against God. Those shepherds were the chief sinners of the day. The truth is that all of mankind was equally lost. It's with that backdrop that the angel breaks through the darkness with what? Great news to all sinners. That what? There is born to you this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Understand, Jesus came with the mission to shine light into the darkness. Jesus came to save those who were lost, to redeem the sinner, to reach the outcast, the downtrodden. I mean, can you think of a better place to maybe start that mission than in that field full of shepherds? These men, they weren't deserving of good news. These men hadn't earned the right to be first recipients. They knew it. They were separated from God, and they were aware of their fallen condition. You see, the angel appeared to these men for one reason and one reason alone: God's grace. God chose, independent of these men, to include them in the story of his son right from the beginning. God intentionally invites them to do what? To come and visit his newborn son. Never crossed your mind, right? Your son born into the world, first night in the hospital, and you go out to round up all the homeless guys living under bridges to come check out. Like, that's the crowd? For God, it is. God wanted them, of all people, to be the welcoming committee. You see, a night that began like every other night was radically interrupted by the revelation that God wanted to involve himself in the life of his son. The ramifications of that idea, they're incredible for us. You see, if God would go out of his way to involve these shepherds in the life of Jesus, if he invites the likes of these men, these outlaws, to be a part of his son's glorious story, if they could be recipients of God's grace, then the truth is there's hope for you and I. Like, in many ways,